Holiday magic is in the air, and DSW's got all the shoes to make your season extra merry. Believe, you've got parties to attend and lists to check twice, so DSW is taking care of the details, like gifts to make their eyes all aglow, styles that bring joy to your world, brands everyone wants, like UGG, Nike, Birkenstock, and more, and deals to make your budget bright. Find the perfect shoes for you and yours at a DSW store near you or DSW.com.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent, match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now, and listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
We've heard from Jimmy Haslam. All right.
Well, kind of.
Yeah. Okay. Somebody's heard from Jimmy Haslam.
We got quotes of Jimmy Haslam. We have no audio for you because that's not how this works.
No, no,
and apparently it's just a drive-by interview. That's our understanding of it.
Which I feel like every owner does the drive-by. Mark Davis did the drive-by.
And drive-by haircuts, too.
I think he just gets a Flowbee and they just put it on top of his dome, and it just, that's just a distress. Don't even take me down the Mark Davis angle. But, so as part of the NFL owners' meetings, which, by the way, now the rich can get even richer, you can go ahead and take up to 10% of your team and sell it to basically finance bros. So, there, you know, just want to say shout out to Jeffrey Lurie. Got $645 million for 8% of a team that he paid, I think it was like $300 million for in 1994.
So I thought it was even less. I thought it was like $150. Yeah,
good for him. Good for him. I was worried about him. And Stephen Ross.
That's a good ROI, as we call it, Nick.
Stephen Ross, I was worried about him, you know, being able to make it through the holidays with the bills and whatnot, but yeah. He got that $600 million under the tree. Good for him. Good for him. People aren't eating right now. It's okay. It's okay. That's their fault, I guess. However, so we heard from Jimmy Haslam by way of someone else, mm-hmm. and a lot of the things that stood out, there were a lot of things that stood out, rather, but the one that I think caught your eye and my eye the most, there was a question and answer exchange where he was asked basically whether he feels like he has the right people in place with Stefanski and Barry, to which he said, I do, we do, we're very supportive, we got a vote of confidence from Jimmy Haslam on the Harvard twins. They're not Harvard twins. The Ivy League twins. We got it.
I'm Bert and Ernie.
I mean, we just got to put this away for another day. We're squirreling away the funds right now.
Yeah, I can tell you're not buying it. Is the fun part about this?
Yeah, because owners say things And I don't. You shouldn't believe anything an owner says.
I don't believe anything any of them say. But in general, it's interesting how all we've had is these reports that come on out, and it's like before the Thursday night game, Stefanski's safe. He's not going anywhere. Albert Breer put Bert and Ernie together. Like, they're not going anywhere. And then yesterday, you get that vote of confidence, and we were wondering, catastrophic, cataclysmic, what does this have to look like for Haslam to change his mind? I guess he hasn't gotten there yet.
So let's go ahead and just put face value to, is this a real vote of confidence, meaning he means it? If he does, it's fine. It just means that Jimmy Haslam doesn't want to win the way he did 5 years ago.
I don't think he means it. I really don't. And it's not because I think he's going to do something different. I think he's going to stay with Stefanski. I think Barry's still, that's open to, that's what the next four games are. Mm-hmm. I think that's still open. I think he loves Stefanski, Nick. And I think there's a couple things that stood out to me here. The idea that he went so hard in the paint to be like, I don't react during the season anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Because he used to exclusively react during the season, or really after any Steelers game, was also part of it as well. I feel like he's trying. He's really trying to not be the old Jimmy Haslam. The problem here is that patience might not be the order of the day.
So here's the thing, and again, I'm not trying to spin any narratives here. I'm not trying to create, like, we're just trying to take the limited information that they have given us, that they tend to give us.
Yeah, we don't even have tone or anything like off
of
this.
So now that being said, I do think Jimmy Haslam is trying hard to do one thing, and that is to convey a message. And because I think what you just said there, I don't know that Jimmy Haslam has changed. I don't know that the ownership group in general has changed for who they were 8 years ago, where every year we were unwrapping a new head coach or GM under the tree on any given January or December. But I know that that's what they want you to believe. And I actually
We've got 5 years of experience now.
Well, but I think that there's power in that. I do think optics matter around the NFL as much as anything. And so even if they are just, quote-unquote, selling a fight, meaning they're just saying this to make it seem like they haven't made up their decision, it's not the worst thing in the world. Like they are trying to present this idea that, no, we believe in what we have and, you know, we're perplexed about, that was the word that was used, we're perplexed mm-hmm. about where we are, but, you know, I'm not going to make any decisions out of emotion in the moment. Like, whether that's true or not doesn't matter. The NFL is a perception business, and the perception of the Cleveland Browns is that Jimmy flies off the handle with emotion at every chance that he gets, and Jimmy's a meddler, and Jimmy's that. So it's clear that guys like Albert and guys like Schefter and guys like Rappaport are buying in, and not just that. Locally, the beat is buying in to this new Jimmy Haslam, and that's not a bad thing for the Browns, whether that it's real or not. Because this is how you change the perception, that you fly off the handle and do things off the cuff and do things in a way that is antithetical to winning.
Yeah, I also do wonder, though, I mean, this is the, correct me if you think something different, would this be the first time he would even consider firing Stefanski in the Stefanski era?
I mean, we'll never know. I think one of the smart things that has happened.
What do you think, though? What you genuinely think? Because when they got rid of Baker, that was an all-in pursuit of Deshaun Watson. You're not firing Kevin Stefanski after that moment. And then he gets suspended for the first six games. You're not firing him for that first season where they didn't do particularly well. Last year, you're not firing him after that either. They just won 11 games. Like, this is the first time he actually has to have a real conversation about the status of Stefanski.
I don't know about that. Okay, now we're going to get in the weeds of if he's thought about it or if he's actually talked about
it. If he's thought about it and he hasn't done it, then that would show growth, because every time previously he thought about it, he just went ahead and did fire the guy.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think that's a great point. If Jimmy has thought about it previously, no matter whether it's one time or 10 times and he hasn't done it, that would show growth. I agree. Here's the thing. I think owners are like whatever sandworm was in Star Wars that tried to eat Lando Calrissian, and I think that's Empire. Like,
it's a deep Star Wars cut for me, man.
I know. I'm sorry for everybody who does not get that.
Was this before or after Jar Jar Binks when I bailed?
Yeah.
Probably before,
okay,
right?
Okay, well, it depends if we're talking in the timeline or if we're talking about when the movies were actually realized and released in real time, but that's for another day.
Okay.
But basically, I think owners, if you just keep throwing things for them to eat, right, for things to blame, for things to fall guys, as it were, I think you can save yourself, right? Like, here, why don't you go ahead and digest Baker's the problem, and we're going to trade for Deshaun so you don't come over here and eat us.
Yeah.
Like, that's basically it. There is a smoke and mirrors thing that I think when you deal with billionaires who don't necessarily understand football, and how to win and how to build a winner over time. And once you have a itchy trigger finger, yeah, I think that's why we've seen so many fall guys on any given year. There's always been somebody blamed for why the Browns haven't succeeded. Baker was clearly the guy.
Well, it was 2021. Baker, and then it was Joe Woods.
But each year we've had one because Joe Woods was after 2022. 2023,
Baker,
it was
Joe Woods, and then last year was a success. You don't have to fire anybody there.
No. They did. They fired AVP.
Well, they did, but that was. All right, that's fair. Very fair.
So, and again, there's actually more because Jadavian was kind of one of the fall guys last year. And that's why, by the way, I think the reports came out conveniently at the end of the season. Jadavian didn't want to play in the Baltimore game. That sat dormant for 2 months. And then it came out at the end of the season. Why? Because this is the guy whose fault it was. And so I think that there is, like, to me, that's weakness. I think if you need to, whether that's a PR thing or whether that's an internal thing.
But he's got to get his fix from somewhere, right? Like, we agree, Tigers don't change stripes. If he's going to be the person that always has to fire somebody and is going to be reactionary, he's got to do it some way. But at least in this respect, I do feel like he's looked at the place he initially came from in Pittsburgh, where he was a minority owner there and was like, yeah, they've had three coaches in 60 years. Maybe I need to take more of that approach. You can fire the other guys. You can fire Joe Woods. You can fire AVP. You can fire the other people, but you keep the head of the snake attached.
Yeah, but is that Jimmy saying it, or is that how things are aligned in front of him from the organization? Because I think that's what's fascinating. Like, they present this thing of Kevin and Andrew were in lockstep, and you know, we dine with Paul D. Podesta over Zoom once a month. You know, they do that kind of thing. But I think that's all to preserve the structure that's there, and then everything else around them is negotiable. And so my point with that is that it would just be the wildest thing in the world if you've had a fall guy every year. It was Baker, it was Joe Woods, it was AVP, and there are probably one or two other guys that, again, presented with the, hey, this is a negative report that we're going to bring out at the right time. It'd just be wild if you did that, especially after an 11-win season. And then after a 3-win season, you were like, hey, we got it.
Yeah, you can always find a fall guy, though. You said it yourself. You can always find a fall guy.
Well, but who's the fall guy if it's not Stefanski and Barry? Is it going to be Paul D. Podesta? Like, what was it Lima said?
I've kind of been convinced that D. Podesta was going to be the one that, like, if they really wanted to do it. We just don't know the relationship there. I know what Lima said, that there's other things that D. Podesta can do away from the actual football operation side of it. Okay, great. Think about it. If you want to give people the pound of flesh that you need to give them, it's got to be either Stefanski or Barry or D. Podesta, or what are we doing here?
There's a guy named Deshaun Watson, pound of flesh. There's a guy named, you could make Jim Schwartz that guy. You could make D. Podesta and Schwartz.
We debated making Schwartz that guy. You see, but you can always find somebody. It doesn't have to fall on Stefanski is the main point here.
Well, but so what's in, so we kind of have gone down the rabbit hole here, but I do think, like, I just think this is good window dressing for the Browns. It's good to put that out there that, you know, hey, I'll make my decision at the end of the season. That's an important thing for people to believe is true. It doesn't mean it is the truth. And by the way, it doesn't mean they're going to fire him. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying when you were 2-8 and everyone came on, we're not going to make any changes. You can say that at 2-8. It doesn't mean when you get to 3-14 that's the reality. And quite frankly, when you're 3-10, you can say the same damn thing.
Right.
Because at any point you can say, those last four games. At any point you can say, we really got down to it and we looked at our systems and these were the processes. So, is it noteworthy that Jimmy said this? Yeah. Am I going to take it to the bank and treat it as currency? Absolutely not.
For some reason, he really wants us to believe that he's not going to do it during the season, and he's going to just take some big long view approach at the end of the year. He really wants us to believe that for some reason.
Yeah.
And I don't know, is that Deshaun related or is that Stefanski? I don't know why that is.
Because Jimmy's name is mud around the NFL when it comes to things like hiring and firing coaches, even after 5 years here, and Stefanski and Barry are on Mount Pius. Well, they can't do any wrong.
If you're mud, then you can fire someone during the middle of the season or the end of the season. Nothing's changing there.
Why
does he care about it?
How it happens matters.
I think he's trying to give. I think he's trying to give the impression that he's more patient and that he's different than he used to be.
Yeah, but how it happens is how the devil's in the details around the NFL. And if you get to the end of the season and go, man, we really took a week here and we really thought about it, and now we're going to do X, Y, and Z, it doesn't matter what the X, Y, and Z is. By the way, And the reality is, it doesn't matter if you made up X, Y, and Z at 3-10 and you just let it play out to 3-14. I don't think it's going to be Stefanski or Barry.
Is firing Stefanski after 5 years considered impatient to you?
Yeah, no, not to me, but
not
it is.
Me. Not to me either.
Because, again, the devil's in the details. Three losing seasons, and this year was the worst of the five seasons. Now, am I itching for it? No. But this class of people who has him elevated, and it's all built around two Coach of the Years, which is an award and has nothing to do with that, what's actually happening. It's voted on by people who are flawed with narratives and all this other stuff. But yeah, I mean, I don't expect it to be Barry or Stefanski, but I understand that at the heart, Jimmy's not done a good enough job in the previous iterations of selling a fight. Somebody will be taking the fall for this. It just depends on who it is and who's the patsy in this case. I don't think it's going to be Kevin and Andrew, but again, you can say something at 3-10, and four bad weeks of football can change that, even if in the end that was kind of your plan the whole time. 216-474-0092. So Jimmy Haslam at the NFL owners' meetings said he feels like he has the right people in place with Stefanski and Barry. Is this a real vote of confidence, or is this what we usually expect from a vote of confidence? We've got Mike Mayock, NFL Network analyst. He's going to be on the call of Army-Navy this weekend. We got him at 3. We also have Pete Futek, college football news, coming up at 4 o'clock as well. We'll get into the Belichick hiring at North Carolina. But as we get started, are you trusting this vote of confidence? And there is trusting, and then there's certainty. That's next on 92.3 The Fan. The number one thing we agree on in totality is the message until whatever the decision is. And again, I'm not expecting Barry and Stefanski to go anywhere. It's just not what I think. I actually really believe that Andrew likes both guys personally. That Jimmy Haslam likes both guys personally. And I think he understands how tedious a search for either guy is going to be. And if you fire one, there's an uneven dynamic that comes up. Now, I say all that to say, no matter what they do, from DePodesta to Barry to Stefanski to Deshaun, whomever they scapegoat, and they will, because that's how this organization is rolled, whomever they do that for, it makes no sense to play that card today, because you got four more games where this could get even uglier, and it would be wasting a PR win of, hey, look what we did, at a time where it's the next loss is going to overshadow that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what anybody expected him to say outside of what he did say, right? Now, the other parts of this I do think is interesting, though, Nick, is him talking about it being perplexing the whole entire season. Like, there are layers to this outside of him giving another vote of confidence for Stefanski, because I just don't know that he was ever going to say anything but that.
Yeah, and so I do think what's interesting is, so I think if the vote of confidence is real, I think if we play that out, I think it is. I think it might be a really well-timed thing of, all right, this is what he believes right now. If it's not real, it's what you're saying, which is, of course, that's what you say, right? You're trying to convey that you haven't already made up your mind, because people conflate that around NFL circles as bad ownership. And if you're just allowing a guy to coach games that he's already been fired for, and you've made up your decision before you see the whole body of work, especially a respected coach like Kevin and Andrew, it would not help if you then turned around to try and have your own search, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I do wonder if he's actually made up his mind before we even get to the end of the season. Because he did. He went out of his way to be like, I'm not gonna think about those things or go down that road until the very end. I do wonder if he already actually knows. Like, there's nothing Stefanski can do that would cost him his job, and that's why he's saying that. Or the other side of it, I know Stefanski's gone, but I can't tell you guys that right now.
Yeah, I don't, and I know I'm not breaking news to you, to just the casual fan out there. These guys always know. If it's already been decided if Kevin's going to be here next year. It's already been decided if Andrew's going to be here. It's already within like 97% certainty from whoever makes those decisions, it's been decided. Good or bad, it's been decided. Because it's
when you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. for millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Nearly impossible to wait till the end of the season to make a decision and then get a search going. Like the way these wheels, especially with like what, three openings already in the NFL who have been.
Well, you wanted to be first to market on this one. Yeah. You did, because there are so many different coaches. You could have had all sorts of conversations with Vrabel, with all these different coaches that are. Hell, you could have talked to Belichick if you wanted to, right? Like, there's a lot of things you could have done that you won't be able to if you wait until the end of the season.
All right. So are you certain that Stefanski and Barry will be back next year?
I don't know about Barry. I'm fairly certain. I'm like 99% certain that Stefanski will be back next year, and there's nothing that's going to happen in the remaining four games that's going to change that one way or another. With Barry, I'm not as 100% certain. I don't think the work that Barry has shown has done enough to justify him staying, and I would bet that I would bet he doesn't look at him as a Bert and Ernie. They must be comped and grouped together.
So I think that's interesting. I think with Barry, the faulty thing in hiring a new GM is, even if your head coach likes that GM, it's pretty obvious what happens when you bring in a new GM and have an existing head coach. There's always some sort of dynamic there. We saw it. We saw this kind of go one way or another with Vrabel, where Vrabel was hired by the previous GM, John Robinson. John Robinson got fired. They brought in Rand Carthen a year later. Bye-bye, Mike Vrabel.
People want their guys. That's in every industry. Whatever job you're in, you get your own guy in there. You're going to want your own people. It's how this works. Now, if you're going to give me an option C, though, Nick, I would take the idea that both Barry and Stefanski stay, and Dee Podesta is the one that actually gets axed. That would be the one I would put at the highest probability.
Is it bad that I think Dee Podesta's gone regardless? I think it's just so easy.
I don't know that's like a slam dunk. I think it's an easy fall guy, yes. I think it's the most likely outcome because if you want to really seem like you're changing something and something substantial is happening, you'd take the guy that everyone believes is your buddy and the one that's been actually making the moves for the past 7 years.
And here's the other thing. I think Dee Podesta, and when I say gone, I don't mean fired. I mean somewhere else in the organization that has nothing to do with football, like what happened with Howie Roseman, where Howie Roseman, when he got into the war with Andy Reid was not the GM for like 2 years.
That was Chip Kelly too. He did the same thing Chip with Chip Kelly, yeah. where he lost power, and then people thought he was going to legitimately be fired. He just kind of waited it out, and then Chip Kelly ended up getting fired, and then he rose back up to power, and he's one of the best GMs in football.
So I kind of think that's
he was laughed at.
Yeah, like that's kind of what I think could happen with Dee Podesta. I'm just talking about being moved to another department away from football, but specific to Barry. I wouldn't be surprised if the Barry decision was actually already made up in its entirety, because there's nothing more you can grade him off of.
Well, there are with some Stefanski, things. There are some things. Hopkins, for instance, just became something that we get to grade him off of. That's a little bit different than if we had this conversation 3 weeks ago.
Kicker's not getting him fired or hired.
It goes into the ledger. It's all one big ledger of was that a miss? Was that not a miss? What happened here? It all adds up.
But I would say Stefanski is like, and again, I think Stefanski is most safe. I agree with you. I do think the next four games matter. If these next four games don't look competitive, guys, that's an excruciatingly long amount of time for it to not be competitive. I'm not saying you have to win any one of these games. I think you're absolutely safe if you win one of the four. Because then again, we're all in the business of selling things to fans, right? But so one out of four wins, or one out of four games won, I think seals it for Stefanski. But, man, you have to be competitive. You have to keep this game close. You have to keep the Cincy game close, even if you don't win these games. If they look more like the Steelers game on December 8th, I think that's where all of a sudden it becomes a real conversation.
All right, play with this thought for a second. After the Steelers game in and of itself took a lot of heat off of Stefanski, but I do think the conversation before the Steelers game was the biggest component to that, right? It was like, all right, he's safe. That is what it is. Do you think Haslam said this because it's been now three games and we haven't heard Stefanski brought up much, but if you lose to the Chiefs and you start losing a couple of these games, we're going to reflectively go back to Stefanski and start blaming Stefanski. Do you feel like he brought Stefanski back into the equation to be like, no, he's safe to take off the heat just for the 4 weeks to take off the heat so we don't discuss Stefanski? Because it worked the last time that happened.
I think I've officially galaxy-brained myself enough that I don't know the answer to that.
Okay, then.
216-474-0092. Jimmy Haslam gives Andrew Barry and Kevin Stefanski a vote of confidence. Are you certain that Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Barry will be back together next year? And we got quick hits coming up next on 92.3 The Fan. But let's get to quick hits. Well, we got unidentified drones flying off the East Coast, apparently harassing the entire state of New Jersey. As New Jerseyans yell, "You think you're better than me?" at the drones. The government says it's not a foreign adversary. Many people are suggesting it could be aliens or alien tech. Jonathan, in the pre-show, said he is out on aliens. Defend yourself right now.
I wanted a segment, not a minute and a half on this, by the way.
You can get a segment on it.
Abundantly clear.
You can get a segment on it, but this is where we started.
On the alien conversation in general.
Why?
I'm over it.
Why?
I'm over it.
How
I wanted
can you
more,
be over
I'll have
aliens?
A million Luigi conversations. I'm done with the alien thing. Do I believe they exist? Yes, 100%. It's obvious they exist now. So what are we doing here?
So, like, if an alien comes down to the studio...
We get a new UFO
and it's
sighting once every month, it feels like, and people lose their minds. Oh, it changed the clock in my car!
If a portal
cares?
Opens up right now and
Who
Bebop
cares?
The alien walks through and sits down and says...
They're choosing this show as, like, the
this
debut
show,
for aliens?
Because we're talking about it right now. And Bebop walks
questions.
Through. You're not going to be like... Hey, man, you're not going to be interested in that? You're going to be like, guys, you're going to tell me to get back to sports?
I'm going to be like, I believe you've landed in a lot of other places already. Thanks for making this another conspiracy theory, because people won't believe it anyway.
I mean, it'll be broadcasted via radio waves.
I don't know exactly what's going on in New Jersey. I have no idea. I think it's very suspect, though, that they're like, oh, yeah, they just went over the ocean and we can't track them. Oh, yeah? We got how much intelligence? We got how many billion dollars invested in this whole entire, defending the country thing? Something weird's happening, and I think it might even be beyond aliens. I'm not sure.
Man, I just hope aliens aren't a-holes. That's all I've ever wanted.
How do you
just
think they're
going to
be nice?
Baby.
Why do you think they're going to be nice?
Okay, because maybe they're just future humans. Bam. How about that?
We're not very nice.
Yeah, but maybe we got nice.
Our society is not very great when it comes to being nice.
Yeah, no, that's just a cynical take of the world. Human beings actually have
some
greatness.
Some are nice, some aren't. That's how it works. I'm open to the idea.
I want the nice
that
aliens.
That we meet nice aliens, but I'm also open to the idea.
I want to be chill. I want to take ayahuasca with
aliens
Bebop.
Aliens step into this little area that we have here doing our work, and they're like, we do the sports radio show now. Like, I am the captain stuff, and then they shoot Jax into the sun. I think that might happen just the same way.
Why Jax?
Well, they're not shooting me into the sun. I mean, let's get honest, about
you're
it.
You're the one who doesn't care about
that. Yeah.
That's why they respect me more.
It'd be Nick and Beep Bop in afternoons
I'm so unimpressed, and they'd be like, oh, God, this guy doesn't care at all about
us. Yeah, that's exactly. Aliens. No, aliens.
It's like trying to get with a woman at a bar. It's like they're not interested in the person that is
overly. You're going to nag the aliens?
That is overly interested. They want the person that's like, oh, I don't care that you're a 10.
Oh, is that?
No,
oh,
I don't see.
Oh, you're green and very thin. Okay.
Is my food ready in the microwave?
Hey, Beep Bop, would you like a burger? You can put some meat on the bones.
Oh, they changed the clocks in the car. Everyone freak out. Who cares?
Okay, you changed the clock in your car without touching the damn thing.
Who as if one person couldn't just be like, oh, my the clock changed. Oh, geez.
Omaha!
All right, Xavier, he's got a podcast. He had the St. Brown brothers on.
I thought it was the other way. I thought it was the St. Brown brother
podcast.
That
makes more sense, actually. Amon Ra and Equinamius? I never
it's
say his
Amon
name right.
Ra I never and say well, Equinamius.
No. This is why I call them the St. Brown brothers.
I don't think the aliens are choosing
this is
you,
why
dog.
I call them St. Brown brothers right here. I was thinking about when I write notes about. I call him ARSB. He's ARSB. He's incredible. All right, Xavier,
will not stand for this.
He said he it's something I wouldn't do. Maybe aliens would do this. Here we go.
Are you a raccoon?
You what?
I see that.
I said, what do you mean raccoon? Like the raccoon?
Like a raccoon that you see in the trash can.
Where do you even eat that at? Where do you even get that?
I hunt it, I kill it, I skin them, cook them, eat them, all it.
So when's the last time you had a raccoon?
Thanksgiving.
Wait, what does it taste like?
It got its own taste. You know, everybody tries to say stuff taste like cheese. Uh-huh. But raccoon got its own taste, though.
Xavier Leggett has the greatest accent ever. It's that low country accent. That's so good.
You ever eat raccoon when you're in North Carolina? You never tempted with some good old raccoon?
No raccoon. I also, by the way,
you get adventurous with food. I didn't know.
By the way, you don't hunt raccoons. No, you keep the trash out and you wait till a raccoon goes into your trash and pop. There you go. That's not hunting raccoons. There's no hunting raccoons. Raccoons look for food.
You're yelling at me like I made the case for hunting raccoons. I just took in what he said.
I'm sorry. I'm still upset about the aliens thing. I had the same story, so restart the clock because I kind of want to continue to talk about this. If someone says they're cooking raccoon for dinner for the Peterlins, are you canceling those plans?
Depends. Am I meeting them for dinner here or am I meeting them for dinner in North Carolina?
On their turf. Yeah.
Does that mean here or does that mean North Carolina? That means in North Carolina.
On their turf.
I can go to people's dinners here is the point there. I can go to someone's house down the street. That's their turf.
Uh-huh.
Who's turf? I'm in North Carolina?
Sure.
No, I eat the raccoon in North Carolina.
Okay.
If it's in Ohio when I go down the street to a friend's house, I'm not touching
it. What's the difference between Ohio raccoons and North Carolina?
Because in North
raccoons.
Carolina, they can convince me that this is something that they've done their entire life, and I don't want to offend a way of life that they have if this is something that they do. Where in Ohio, I know you're not eating raccoons on the reg.
But wouldn't you rather a big city raccoon that is big and fat instead of country raccoons?
Nobody in big cities eat raccoons.
Country raccoons are going to be very thin because there's just not the food source. Where like a Wadsworth raccoon, like we got like 25,000 people there in Wadsworth, I guarantee you that fat's going to render down really nicely on that raccoon. Also, Britton Jackson on Twitter and social media reactions on X, powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store, saying a raccoon is the absolute worst tasting meat I've ever had.
Clearly, that's the other thing. All these gamey animals that people are like, oh, we could have once in your life, they all either taste like chicken or taste awful.
You know what? I don't like alligator. Had gator once.
Tastes like a hardened chicken.
Yeah, I don't think it tastes like. I think it tastes awful. I think it tastes. Why is Jax just looking at me like I?
Because alligator nuggets are great.
Okay, I did not have that on the bingo card today. I'm a little shocked on this one. You eat gator there?
When I've been to Florida, yeah.
I ate it when I went to New Orleans.
But in gumbo, it gets rendered down
much. No. It was an appetizer dish.
Yeah, fried alligator nuggets.
Fried alligator nuggets, exactly right.
Yeah. I'll pass on that. I will take gator gumbo, though.
It was like hardened chicken. That was fine.
Yeah.
Omaha!
I thought it was going to hit more, if I'm being honest with you. Steve Kerr last night.
Mm.
We had the end of game situation there as apparently the Warriors really want to play for the cup. I mean, we wondered who wanted to play for the cup. Steve Kerr, that's your answer. The Warriors blew a 6-point lead. They failed to score in the final 3 minutes of the game. Curry missed a step back 3-pointer with his team up one with 11 seconds left. A loose ball foul at the end of the 80 feet away from the basket ended up deciding this one. Here was Steve Kerr afterwards.
Never seen it in the NBA. That is unconscionable. I don't even understand what just happened, especially because the game was a complete wrestling match. They didn't call anything. Steph Curry got hit on the elbow, plain as day, on a jump shot, just clubbed right on there, no call. So you've established you're just not going to call anything throughout the game. It's a physical game. I call it a loose ball foul on a jump ball situation with guys diving on the floor with the game on the line. This is a billion-dollar industry, but I feel for our guys. Our guys battled back, played their asses off, and deserved to win that game, and that was taken from us by a call that I don't think an elementary school referee would have made.
Shut up. God.
Yeah, no, he was right. Did you see the play?
Yeah, you know, no, NBA refereeing is bad.
No, it's always been bad, bleep. And it's been worse than ever, but that was an egregious of among egregious calls. Yeah, that was awful. Yeah. 80 feet away from the basket, a loose ball call in that instance is gross.
Yeah,
Steve Kerr is 100% right.
Yeah, well, but it's not just happening right to his team. It's like aliens. It's happening globally. It's a basketball wide problem, and he's gonna.
In that moment, you never see that call happen. In that moment, that was awful. And that was an awful way to decide a game. I'm with Steve Kerr, and I'm not complaining about ref guy. I am 100% with. Yeah, I don't think. Did you see the play?
Breaking at 11. NBA coach complains about referee.
Stop it! Stop. You didn't see the play.
No, we got to bump the aliens.
You didn't see the play.
To the C block because we got Steve Kerr complaining about NBA officiating.
80 feet away. You didn't.
Yeah. See, they're bad.
I got to show it to you in between the break. It was so awful. And by the way, Steve Kerr clearly cares about the cup.
Yeah. No, he doesn't. I don't even know where I'm going right now because I had a no, that's too food adjacent. That's also food adjacent. I must be hungry. Rule 5 MLB draft
too.
Yesterday came and went with the Guardians, losing one prospect. They took none. I am obsessed with the idea.
Wait, the draft was yesterday, you said?
The Rule 5 draft.
Oh, the Rule 5 draft. Okay.
Would a Rule 5 draft work in the NFL?
Well, I mean,
what's that?
Well, I thought about the difference between the Rule 5 draft and the supplemental draft, and I was trying to go down that road.
So basically, you could protect 20 players in your roster and your most recent draft class, but then from guy 27 on your roster on, you could have one guy taken on any given year.
That's dumb.
No, I'd love it.
That's dumb.
That would give so many more opportunities, and it would also take. Like a good player who might be even better, like an ascending player, you might be able to grab an extra player in the offseason. I think that, and I think it's the best thing that we'd do. I think it would be so much fun. Because, think about it. It could be, Diabate. We have to worry. Diabate Hickman. Who are we going to lose in this draft? It would be just another way to kind of redirect talent. And also, I think because it's proven NFL players, I think it'd be fun. He just completely dookied all over this. Now, I mean, I got super excited when I thought about this.
I just haven't thought too much about the Rule 5 draft, if I'm being honest with you. That's just me not thinking enough about the Rule 5 draft.
I get in the Rule 5. I don't even know who these guys are, and I get into the Rule 5 draft because it's such a cool concept.
You describing it was different than my interpretation of it.
What was your interpretation? Do you think it was a supplemental draft?
Well, no, I thought it was more about the actual first-year draft guys, and that was exclusively at how the Rule 5 one is. Maybe I'm just off there.
No. So the Rule 5 draft is guys who have been, I think it's 3 years out of college, 4 years out of high school, who are not on a 40-man roster.
Yeah, you select high school and college players, and you go from there, yeah.
Yeah, but no, they're not high school and college players. They're guys who have been in the minors for 3 or 4 years. So in this way, in the NFL, you'd have guys who've been in the NFL for... two or more years. Yeah,
what you're trying, trying to stockpile guys from a bunch of players being all in the minor leagues and all. I get the idea behind it, but Diabate played in the NFL, so he'd be out of this equation, right?
No.
Because
so you would be taking a player off an active roster. So, for instance, and I think playoff teams should be exempt, so it only involves teams that did not make the playoffs. So you could only protect so many players. So you'd be taking from a pool. It'd be like an expansion draft, but with actual
players. It sounds
like
an expansion draft. Yeah. Right? You can only protect so many guys. Yeah. So in like an expansion draft, you get to protect X amount of your... Like they're doing this at WNBA, right? You get like 8 players you get to protect. What's your cutoff then for football?
Probably like 27, right? Because it'd be your most recent draft class and your 22 starters.
Because 27 seems like... you're going to lose somebody important then. 27 would make it interesting. I would worry that football would do something like 40... And then it's all of a sudden we're debating over potentially a bunch of guys we waffled between the practice squad.
That's why we got to do it the right way. That's why we got to do it the Wilson way.
You can lose somebody of actual importance.
Mike Mayock, NFL analyst. I am not going to you defeated the Rule 5. I really was excited about that when it's been defeated. But we'll get his thoughts on the Browns heading into the final four games here and whether those decisions have already been made and more on 92.3 The Fan.